Father, we love you this morning. Do you love him? Lord, we praise you this morning. Can you praise him, somebody? Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for another opportunity. As the scripture says, truly our fellowship is with our Lord Jesus Christ and also with one another. Amen. Now, Lord, glorify thyself in the message of the Lord. And as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light. Hallelujah. So let it be for us today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Also, you may be seated. Pianist, you can stay there. Emeka, stay there for just a minute. How is everyone doing this morning? Are you doing well? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the Lord is good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Hallelujah. And his mercy does what?
Endureth forever.
Amen. Hallelujah. This song is just in my heart that I want to sing. I'm not a singer, as you know, but you know, I love to sing. Amen. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. That can raise us up to climb every mountain. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Today, I'm going to be speaking on taking kingdom blessings by force. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read a few scriptures as a background. Then I'm going to give you some wonderful stories in the Bible to illustrate the point. And then we're going to believe God together. Amen. Right away, we see that Jesus here is saying that, look, another translation in the book of Luke says, well, you know, every man presses into it. You know, there are many interpretations that you can give to the kingdom of God suffering violence and violence take it by force. Today, I'm going to give one perspective which is taking now the kingdom blessings by force. Now, just because God promised something doesn't mean you are going to get it. Especially if the devil has something to do about that. Praise God. But this message will show you where we're going with that. We're not glorifying the devil. We're just bringing out a point. That the devil will contest every word of God and every promise of God in your life. He will too. But you're going to have to use the spiritual force. You're going to have to use, you know, persistence. You're going to have to not give up or not give in and so forth. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. Now, there's only one chapter in that verse. I mean, that book. So we can say, you know. So let's look at this. I'm only going to emphasize the last part of that sentence. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Amen. Now, the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Let's turn to the book of Daniel chapter 7. These are the scriptures that I'm reading as a background before we go into certain stories and say something that the Lord wants you to hear. Daniel chapter 7. We're going to read three verses there. Daniel 7, the first one is verse 15. Then we will read verse 22, and then we read verse 27. So, let me read it out of my book here. Daniel 7, I said 15, but I meant 18. Daniel 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, amen, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, amen. Now, you know, we know that that's prophetic and it's coming, but look, you know, we can practice, you know, possessing the kingdom right now by possessing your possessions, amen. It's kind of like, look, you're going to, you know, you want to run a big, win a big race and everything like that. And you don't even practice the little ones. You know, you can't do it. You know, you got to win every little victory now as a practice for taking the kingdom. Now, today we're just going to take some portion of the kingdom, which is already yours. Amen. Now, let's look at verse 22 of that same chapter. It says, until the Asian. Now, this one talks about the little horn oppressing the children of God and so forth like that. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. One last verse in that chapter, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given. Notice. It's not going to go to the devil. It's not going to go to the world. It shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. And those that overcome shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. Amen. Now, but today, let's bring it down to your everyday lives. Now, this is the big picture here. But before we get to the big picture, you know, it's kind of like in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. The Bible says, look, if in the land of peace, you know, when you run with footmen and they wearied you, you know, then how are you going to contend with horses? If in the land of peace wherein you trusted, you know, you're already weary, you give up in the little things, what are you going to do when... You know, the swelling of Jordan, you know. So, in order for you to get into, how can you contend with horses if you can't even win against footmen? You know, so we got to win the races against the footmen in preparation for races against the horses. Amen. And we got to win all these things. You know, so, you know, I am going to, why is it that a lot of believers do not possess or obtain or attain unto all of the things that God has already freely given? You know, because most of the time, we or believers don't realize that they are going to have to contend for them. They don't realize they're going to have to fight for these things. You know, and sometimes people pray, they say things like, well, you know, let's say somebody is praying for healing. I say, well, if the Lord heals me, okay. And if the Lord doesn't heal, well, you're not going to get healed that way. Say, if the Lord heals me, fine. And if he doesn't heal me, fine. You know, and then you're praying. You know, I expect the Lord's going to heal you. That's a double-minded man can obtain nothing from the Lord. That's a wishy-washy. You've got to stay focused and maintain your ground. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. The reason, of course, the devil, he will pose a challenge against, you know, every promise. You should listen to the message on the website. I don't know what date. It's called Contradictions Against the Word of Promise. You should listen to that. You know, but today, let's look at how some people approach these things in the Bible. Let's look at example. The Bible says all the things that are written in the scriptures are for our examples. Amen. So I'm going to go through about 7 or 8 or 9 stories here before we get to the punchline at the end. Well, you know, I think you're already, you know, beginning to put your mind into the message. I'm going to start, you know, in these stories. There are many wonderful stories that bring out this point. And Jesus himself taught some things along that line. We'll come to that. But let me start at Genesis chapter 32. And let's pick up the story from verse 22. Verses 22 to about 32. It's a, you know, let me make sure that they got the right scripture for me here. Genesis 32. Okay. So, what the story that we want to look about here right now is how that Jacob, see, how that he contended for the promises of God. The one verse that I'm going to focus on is actually going to be in verse 26. But to give you a context, you know, let me start from verse 24. Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, you know, so this man I was wrestling with, Jacob, he, you know, might have been the angel of the Lord, you know. And he was wrestling with Jacob, and he didn't prevail. So he touched the hollow of his of Jacob's thigh, and was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the man said, let me go. Praise God. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, nobody is going anywhere until you bless me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the kind of thing we want to talk about today. You know, Jacob was going to take this blessing by force. Praise God. And the man said, look, I got to go. You know, I got other business to take care of. Jacob said, well, we're going to take care of this first. You're going to bless me before I let you go. And the wrestling match continued for a long time. And the man, you know, the angel had to touch him somehow to get, you know, give him a limp and give him a disadvantage. But he got the blessing. Amen. Praise God. He got the blessing, but he had a wound and a scar to show for it. Now, sometimes you may get a wound and a scar to show for it. You know, that's another good message you should listen to. It's called Battle-Tested Believers. You can get, you know, you might get a few scars, but you're going to come away with a win. Amen. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 5. I'm going to just read a few of these stories in the Bible. This one we just read. I'm not going to take a lot of time to go into all the stories because of time. But this one just shows you how Jacob wrestled. But before I go on to that, let me read something here. You know, I'm trying to hurry too much and I miss something that is important. You know, so here's what he said. You know, he told him in verse 28, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. So this man actually wrestled with God. You know, he wrestled with God and he prevailed. Now, that's the kind of God that we serve. God will not only wrestle with you, but he will give you the grace to prevail against him in prayer. Amen. That's right. You can't prevail against God, but, you know, if you have that kind of faith that we're going to be talking about today, God will actually give you the grace to win that wrestling. You know, and you will come away with a winner. Praise the Lord. Now that, you know, some of you may say, well, you know, I don't know about that. But, yep, it's in the Bible. Luke chapter 5. Let's read from, you know, there's a few stories here that I want to read from. Let's start from maybe perhaps about verse 17 of Luke chapter 5. This is a story of a few folks that would not be denied. And it came to pass on a certain day as Jesus was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, you know, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Amen. Amen. Now, what happened next? Read the next story. And men brought in on a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means by which they could bring him in before the Lord. And when they could not find by what means they might bring him in because of the multitude, you know, there were so many people there, and they're trying to get in by the door, they couldn't get in. So they went up on the housetop, this wasn't their house, they went out on somebody else's housetop, broke the roof, amen, amen somebody, broke the roof, and let this man down in front of Jesus. And then when Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, it wasn't even the faith of the guy that was on the bed. It was the faith of the others, you know, because they would not be denied. They were going to get to Jesus. They didn't care if there was a multitude there or whatever was going on. If, you know, the door is locked or blocked, you go through the roof. Amen. So they went through the roof. And of course, the end of the story was that man got healed that day because these folks that brought him in would not be denied. They would not, you know, let the multitude and all that stuff that was going on deny them from their blessing. Here's another story similar to that in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 24 to about 34. This woman from Mark chapter 5, verse 24. You know, this woman, Jesus was going to go raise somebody, and a lot of people were following him, and they thronged him. Verse 25. And there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had. She was nothing, he wasn't make any better, you know, but actually grew worse. You know, and she said in her mind, you know, this woman said, you know, because she came down through the press. This is very important. Verse 27 says, she came through the press, you know, behind and touches. Now, she had to walk her way through that. This was a woman that had issue of blood. You know, probably very embarrassing because the issue was issuing out of her. But she wasn't going to let the crowd. She was going to fight her way through the crowd and get to Jesus. And she said in her mind, look, all I need to do is just touch his clothes, but I got to get through this crowd. I'm not going to be denied today. You know, so she made her way through the crowd. She touched his clothes. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? You know, and everybody said, are you kidding? You have all this crowd around here and you're saying, who touched me? And just say, yep, this one was a different touch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, every time you come into the service, you can be that one person that will touch the Lord. Everybody around you can be shouting and praising the Lord, but you might be the one that will touch the Lord. Praise God. You know, because God knows when there is real faith. You know, the virtue went out of Jesus because faith from that woman drew that virtue. Hallelujah. That's how it works. Your faith will draw that virtue from the Lord. You know, and everybody thronging him and so forth. Everybody bumping shoulders with the Lord that they didn't get healed. You know, but one touch of the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Because of what was in her heart. You know, and Jesus said, this one is different. And of course, the lady was trembling and everything. And, you know, she revealed what she did and so forth. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Thy faith has made thee whole of thy plague. You know, I don't care what plague it is. We don't know what's going on and so forth. Now, you know, in this world today, there's a lot of plague. There's a pestilence. There's a pandemic. You know. But anybody out there listening, and if they are suffering with that kind of thing and so forth like that, if they can reach out and touch the Lord Jesus, you know, he can make them whole. Amen. Praise the Lord. This woman, she pressed through the multitude. Now let's look at another one. This is Mark chapter 10. And we'll start at verse 46. There was a story of a man. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 46. There was a story of a man called blind Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. He sat by the wayside begging every day. And as Jesus was passing by, this man heard it, that Jesus was passing by, and he began to cry. He only heard, he didn't see Jesus because he was blind. But he heard the crowd, he heard the commotion. He knew that something was going on. And he asked the people, what's going on? Say, Jesus is passing by. I say, oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And he began to cry out. And I said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the people said, shut up. See, there's a lot of voices that will try to shut you down when you are trying to believe God. They tried to shut him down. And they said, hold your peace. But he cried the more a great deal. Hallelujah. This man would not be shut down by anybody. When you're trying to do something and somebody telling you to shut up or you can't do it, don't listen to them. You cry out to the Lord even more. Amen. This man cried, and I tell you something, Lord, have mercy upon me. It's a prayer that Jesus never turns down. He never turns it down. Look at what happened in the next verse. Jesus stood still. That kind of crying out to God magnetizes Jesus. He stood still among all the crowd. He was going and so for all the ruckus and everything. And then Jesus heard, so Lord, have mercy upon me. He stood still. Praise God. And the brother said, shut up. Don't bother the master. He cried even more. And Jesus beckoned unto him. Hallelujah. And the end of that story, folks, he went home healed. Be of good comfort. Rise. They told him, the Lord is calling for you. And he cast away his garment. Threw everything aside. You know, and he ran to Jesus. Praise God. Verse 51. And Jesus said unto him, see, now Jesus, he's going to ask you. You know, this is the thing. Don't wishy-washy your prayer. Don't say, God bless me. What is the meaning of God bless me? What's the meaning of that? I've heard people pray about that. What does that really mean? You know, what does it mean for God to bless you? Tell God what you want. Amen. Be specific. This man could have said, oh, Lord, bless me. And they said, well, you're blessed already. You know, no. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Be specific on what you are asking from God. Amen. You've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but you need to claim specific blessings. Praise the Lord. So this man, he went home healed. Now, here's another story. I'm picking these stories out from the New Testament, and I'm going to go back to something in the Old Testament that is really significant. But let's finish this. Here's another story of a woman in Matthew chapter 15. Story is also in Luke. In Luke, he calls her the Syrophoenician woman. But here he calls her a Greek woman. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Let's look at this story. You know, so when Jesus departed thence, he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And next verse. And behold, there was a woman of Canaan come out of the coast and cried unto him. Now, this is the same cry. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Remember, I told you, Jesus, he even turned down that cry. But Jesus was going to do something here for us today. You know. Now, she said to him, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously grieved. Have mercy on me. Now, of course, this woman did not have the right to call him son of David. She wasn't one of the household of Israel. Can't call him son of David. You know. But I'll tell you something. And there is something that Jesus said here. Look at the next verse, verse 23. He answered her, not a word. Remember, we said initially that he will never turn down that have mercy upon me. But Jesus is going to bring down something here. He answered her, not a word. Pretended as if he ignored her. And the disciples came and told him, send her away, she's disturbing us. Send her away. And Jesus didn't send her away. But listen to what he said in verse 24. He said, look, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this woman wasn't of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I can tell you something. This woman pierced the veil. This woman went into a time zone that was beyond her time. Jesus said, look, right now, I'm here for the children of Israel. You know, and he turned to, look at verse 25, and he said something to the woman. After she came and worshipped him, she said to her, you know, she said again, Lord, help me. Help me now. As some folks will say, help me, Lord. And look at verse 26. What did he say? And the Lord said unto her, look, it is not right for me to take the children's bread, because I came for the house of Israel, and cast it to the dogs. Can you imagine the Lord saying that? Wow. Majority of people would have gone away offended at that saying. Are you still with me? Majority of people, I said, are you calling me a dog? But Jesus was bringing out a point. Well, already the Lord already knew what he was going to do, but he's bringing out a point for your sakes today. This woman, despite initial answer of nothing, Jesus didn't answer initially, and even when he would answer, he seemed to block her way, say, I'm not going to do it. This doesn't belong to you. This belongs to your children. But right now, I can't take children's bread and give it to dogs. And this woman said, listen to what she said. You know, verse 27. And she said, that's right, Lord. You're right that the dogs should not eat the children's bread. But Lord, you know that when the children are eating, some crumbs will fall to the ground. And the dog will eat those crumbs. And Jesus said, my goodness. Hallelujah. This woman would not be denied. Even when it looks as if the answer was no. Even when it looks like the Lord said, you can't have it. This woman would not be denied. Praise God. You know, this woman, she went beyond her time. Jesus said, no. This is for Israel. And she was a Syrophoenician from Canaan. It wasn't really part of the clan, if you want to say that. But this woman, she pierced that veil. She would not take a no for an answer. Amen. And the Lord said, my goodness, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Can somebody give the Lord a hand clap? Hallelujah. Now, do you readily give up when it seems like the initial answer is no? There's a story right here in the Bible. You know, it can look as if you just give up. You know, let's look at another one real quick. This is in Luke chapter 18. Jesus himself told this story. He starts out by saying in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, he said, Jesus told this, you know, story so that men ought always to pray and not to faint, means not to give up. And he went on to say, look, there was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. And in the same city, there was a widow that came into the judge every day and said, judge, avenge me of my adversary. I have a case here. Avenge me. Every day she would come. And this, you know, this man would not hear her. But after a while, because this woman kept coming and bugging him, this man said, look, I don't fear God. I couldn't care less about justice for this woman. You know, I don't care. It's not my problem. However, if I don't do something about this, give her, the only way to get rid of her is give her what she wants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus told that story himself. He said, look, because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her unless, if I don't, by her continual coming, she is going to weary me. And the Lord said this. This is the lesson. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Jesus told this story himself. He told this story himself. Praise the Lord. And he said, if the unjust judge does this, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? He said, the enemy has taken my portion, the portion that belongs to me. And you cry, You know, maybe it's your children that are out in the world, and the devil can't have their souls. Amen. Are you going to sit back and just let the devil have their souls? We'll come to that in a minute. You know, when you cry long unto God and so forth, though he be along with them, he said, the Lord will come to them speedily. But when he comes, this is the secret, verse 8. When the Lord comes, finally, will you still be at the point of faith? Because most of the time when people are believing God for something, they are long hope wearies the heart. They are believing today, nothing. Next day, nothing. Next month, nothing. Next year, nothing. Finally, they give up. And at the time they give up, the answer is just around the corner. That's what Jesus is saying here. When the Lord finally comes, will you still be at the point of faith? Will you still be believing? Praise God. So Jesus told this story himself. And listen to what Isaiah chapter 62 says, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. He said, look, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace. Are you a watchman? Are you holding your peace? Listen to what he says. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give the Lord no rest. Keep not silence and give him no rest until he establish and make Jerusalem praise in the earth. And you can apply that to anything. Because Jesus told this theory himself. When you are believing God for something, give him no rest until he does that thing for you. Can you say amen? Amen. Most people give up after the first sign of, it looks like this is no. Well, how do you know that the Lord is not testing you? Just like he tested this woman and said, well, I can give bread that belongs to children to dogs. You know, what are you going to do if the Lord, if it appears as if the Lord said no, or he's silent like he was initially when the woman was talking, he didn't listen. When you say, I see God has gone silent on you, what are you going to do? What's it going to be? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to just walk away and say, well, you know, I knew the Lord. He wasn't going to answer me anyway, you know, and so forth. And then the devil just robbed you of your blessing. Say, give him no rest until he bring forth that thing that you are praying for. Can somebody say amen? Now, let's look at some real stories from the Old Testament now and see how you can go beyond. Beyond. You know, I can't tell stories in the Bible like this without somehow bringing David into the picture. But I love the stories of David. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21, the story is in 1 Samuel chapter 21 from verses 1 to about 9. You know, and Jesus would refer to this story later on. We'll come to that. Now, David, he came to Ahimelech the priest. And that day, the priest was afraid of David and said, look, why are you come? Where is everybody with you and so forth? So, listen to what David said. David said, look, the king had commanded me a business. Well, I don't know if that was exactly true. You know, said to me, let no man know the thing that you are doing and so forth. And what I've commanded thee, you know, appointed my servants such a place. So David had to kind of squeeze his way out of that one, you know. And he said, look. So he asked the man, what do you have there? Can you give me some loaves of bread? You know, and the man said, the priest said, look, there is no common bread here. The only bread that is here is the holy bread, the show bread, you know, which is only for the high priests, the priests, you know, and so forth. And he said, well, if the young men, perhaps if they've kept themselves. And David said, look, they've kept themselves, you know, and so forth. And look, don't call the bread holy bread. Amen. Hello. Listen to what he said. He said, look, the men have indeed kept themselves, you know, for these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are held holy. And the bread is in a manner... Come on. Even though it was sanctified this day by the vessel. Don't call it holy bread. Hallelujah. David was not going to go for that holy stuff. I want some bread. Amen. You know, there's a guy, you know, Uzziah in the Bible and so forth. He didn't even do half of this kind of things. He only put forth his hand to help the ark. when the ark stumbled, and boom, he was there. But here's a man that knows something. Hallelujah. David would not be denied. He pierced beyond his time. If you read in Hebrews chapter 9, I don't have time to go to that, you will see that there was a veil, and then another one, and so forth. And that holy bread was inside a veil. And bring it out. Praise God. Not only did he eat it, he even gave it to all the soldiers that were with him and so forth. And Jesus would refer to this story in Mark chapter 2. When his disciples were going through, look at Mark chapter 2 verses 25 to 26. You know, the disciples of Jesus on a Sabbath day, they were going through the cornfields and plucking corn and eating. Jesus himself didn't do it, but he didn't stop them either. Praise God. You know, so, and then they came, you know, some people are so dogmatic about these things, Sabbath day and all these things today, you know. They came to Jesus. Why do you allow your disciples to do this stuff on a Sabbath day? Didn't you know what Moses wrote? And so, and, you know, Jesus, I love the way he answers his questions sometimes. He will answer them a question by posing his own question. And he said, look, have you never read, and he's quoting the scripture we just read, what David did in the days of Abiathar the high priest and so forth, how he went into the house of bread and did eat that which was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priests. And he gave also to them who were with him. Haven't you read that? Praise God. And Jesus said, look, if you only knew what it means, oh my goodness, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion. Look, it's not about you kept the law. You should keep the law. You should keep all these things. But it is the mercy of God, folks. And God put his mercy smack down on David. He called it the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. Now, of course, when David went off the track, the Lord dealt with him. But David, he knew his business with God. He said, look, God, don't even let me fall into the hands of man. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is merciful. But men, they never forgive you. But the Lord, he'll deal with you, but he will forgive you and he'll save you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, look, don't worry about Sabbath day, this and that, all that stuff. A greater than the Sabbath is right here. And the Sabbath was made for men, not the other way around. Praise God. David would not be denied. I'll tell you another story where David would not be denied. Praise God. This story is in 1 Kings chapter 17. Many of you know the story, and we've preached on it. The slaying of a giant is on the website. And David, when he came before Saul, verses 34 to 37. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. Saul said to him, you can't go up against this Goliath. You're not even trained. You don't have any experience. And David said, listen, let me tell you something. When I kept my father's sheep, hallelujah, there was a lion that came to steal something that belonged to me. Took one of the little kids. You know, I went after the lion and I smote it and got back what was mine. Praise God. Less than 17 years old, folks. And also a bear, and those bears, when they rise up like this, they can go to that 9 feet tall. You know, when a bear rose up against me and he took one of my little flock and so forth, I went against him and I smote him and I got back that was mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, he probably had a few battle scars to show for it, but the point is, he got back what was his. He's not going to sit back and let the devil take something from him. Amen. Now, my challenge to you today is this. Are you going to sit back and let the devil take your children? Are you going to let the devil take your marriage? Are you going to let the devil take your blessings? Isaiah chapter 62 says, I will no more give thy corn for the which thou hast labored to thy enemies. Amen. But those that have labored for it will also eat it in the court of my holiness, saith the Lord. Amen. Now, some of you will stand back and let the devil play ping pong all over your life and so forth. You know,
And they'll, just mess you up. That was then. This is now. No more of that. It is enough. Amen. Amen. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And David said, look, I slew the lion and I slew the bear, and this thing here, uncircumcised Philistine, shall be as one of them. Amen. Now everybody else, even those who were trained in battle, they were cowering, they were afraid. But this young man, he said, look, God already prepared me for that. This is what we're talking about. Jeremiah chapter 12 and 5. You know, God will prepare you. He prepared him through the lion, prepared him through the bear. Now, when that bear rose up, it was like 9 feet tall, when he really rose up. And when David went to Goliath, all he was looking at was that bear that rose up. And he said, well, I've seen something like this before. Been there, done that. Amen. I'm going to slay you because you come against me with staffs and spear and all these things and so forth. And you ridicule the armies of the living God. And I'm fighting for the Lord. And the Lord, whose armies you ridiculed, he'll give me into your hands. He'll give you into my hands today. And then you will know. Praise God. David wouldn't be denied. Whether lion, whether bear, whether Goliath, didn't make him any difference. You know, he's going to win the victory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, we're coming down to the end of these. There's a couple more interesting stories. Now, this is a story in 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the story of Elisha, the prophet that would take the place of Elijah. Now, notice the difference, Elisha and Elijah. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, you know, there came a time that, you know, Elijah was going to be taken up by the whirlwind. And Elijah went to, you know, with Elisha, who was then his servant. As far as we know, up to that time, Elisha wasn't any kind of prophet. He was just, you know, a minister unto the prophet. And look, every attempt that Elijah made to ditch this guy, Elisha, that's right, tried to ditch him. He said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray you. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. Elisha said, not on your life. Hallelujah. As the Lord thy God liveth, I will not leave thee. So he went with him to Bethel. Look at the next verse. When they got to, and then, you know, the sons of the prophet even came to him, Elisha, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master off your head today? I know it. Be quiet. Amen. And then Elijah went again. He got to another place, you know, he said to him, tarry here, you know, when they got to that Bethel. Tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. Then there's a story to each one of those. I don't have time to go into it. Bethel, Jericho, and so on. But, and Elijah, you know, Elijah said, no. Jericho, Bethel, wherever you are going, I'm not leaving you. Praise God. And they went on. And then look at verse 5. You know, sons of the prophet came again and chided him and said, look, Elijah, God's going to take your master today. Do you know that? You know? He said, yeah, we know it. Don't worry about it. You know, verse 6. And he moved on. And Elijah told him again, you know, we're going to Jordan now. You know? Stay here, I pray you. And so forth. Every time Elijah tried to ditch this guy, get rid of him, you know. But it was a test. Because Elijah, being a prophet, he knew what he was doing too. It was a test, a story for us to latch onto today. But Elijah said, no way, not on your life. As the Lord thy God liveth, that's what not on your life means. As the Lord thy God liveth and our soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. So finally, when Elijah saw that he could not shake this guy, you know, because he probably didn't want him to see him and all that, what the Lord was going to do and so on, you know, he said, look, okay, what is it that you want me to do for you already? And Elijah said, I want a double portion. Hallelujah. Of your spirit to be upon me. Now, this was a man, he had even done nothing. He just following the steps of the prophet and ministering to him, carrying whatever, doing whatever for him and so on. You know, and so, I want a double portion of your anointing come upon me. My goodness. That's like taking the kingdom by force. You know, and Elijah said, you have asked a very hard thing. I don't know. But if you do see me go, I've tried to shake you. Try to leave you over there in Bethel. That didn't work. Try to leave you over here in some place. That didn't work. Try to leave you over here in Jordan. That didn't work. You know, if you see me go, it shall be so. But before he went, when they were going to go to Jordan, at that time of the year, Jordan probably was overflowing its banks. Elijah took his mantle, smote the mantle, and the river Jordan parted, and they went through on dry land. And Elisha took note, said, is that a fact? When he was coming back, after Elijah was gone, he got to the same place. Of course, the mantle of Elijah fell on him as he was taking off. He said, my father, wow, the chariots of Israel, the horsemen thereof. He saw the chariots of fire. They came, they swooped up Elijah, you know, and parted them apart, you know. Hallelujah. Sweep up Elijah, parted them apart, and Elisha fell back, and the garment fell upon him from Elijah. And he said, oh, my land, I saw it. Amen. Because Elijah said, if you see it, you got it. He said, I saw it. The chariots of Israel. Hallelujah. He saw it. And then he took that mantle and said, well, I got the baton now. Amen. That's right. And then he got back to that same Jordan, the same place where they crossed before. Now, Elijah parted the river, and the river came back together. Now, it's now Elisha's turn. And he got there and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the Lord said, look, the Lord God of Elijah is already wherever he's always been. He has never moved. But where are the Elijahs of God? That's my question today. The Lord God of Elijah, he took the mantle, he smote the river, and the river parted just like he did for Elijah. You know, and I said, you know, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the Lord said, I'm asking you today, where are the Elijahs of God? Or even the Elishas of God that would not be denied. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's look at this last story. Praise God. I love this one. And I preached a message on it one time. It's called, Give Me This Mountain. You can read it in Joshua chapter 14. Verses 6 to 15. Praise God. Now, of course, in Numbers, in the book of Numbers 13 and 14 chapters, Moses sent them out to go and spy out the land and so forth. Many of them went and came back with ugly report to say, we can't do that. We can't go up against these people. They're giants. They're going to swallow us alive. You know, and you know, unbelief will twist you up. These people twisted themselves up. They said, well, the land is full of giants. And at the same time, the land swallows up its inhabitants. If the land is swallowing up the inhabitants, they won't be giants, you know. But their unbelief twisted them up. How can they be giants and then the land is swallowing them up, you know? They just twisted up. They said, we cannot do that. We can't do that. We can't go up against these people. But Caleb and Joshua, they said, yes, we can. Amen. Yes, we can. And he said, look, these people, they are lunch for us. They are bread for us. I'm going to have them for lunch because the Lord God is with us. Amen. I don't care if they're giants. I don't care whatever. The fruit, the good land is before us, and God has given us the world. We are able to go up and possess the place. Hallelujah. They took the place by force. They said, we can do it. And they came back and they gave a good report. And all the other people that gave evil report, the Lord said, you will know the breach of my promise. You won't even smell it. You won't get in there. And they did not. And God put in the mind of Moses to give commandments to Joshua later on. So when you divide the land, he told him, gave him some commandments and so forth. So it came to a point when they were dividing the land. This is the story here. The children of Israel came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb came up to Joshua and said, look. And the Lord said, look, you know, plead your cause. You bring your strong cause. Let's plead together. This man came and said, look, let me remind you, Joshua, right now, before you start dividing the land and so on. Let me remind you that it was only you and me. As a matter of fact, I said, look, I was the one. All these people, everybody else didn't believe anything. And God wiped them out. So he said, look, thou knowest the thing that in the day of the Lord that God sent us to go and spy out the land. All my brethren came back with stories of negativity and they wouldn't believe God. But I believed God. Hallelujah. And he said, look, I'm 85 years old now. I was 40 years then. And I am still as strong today to go out for war and for battle. Therefore, give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, he's not even going to wait for Joshua to divide anything. He's going to claim it. Praise the Lord. Give me this mountain right now. I'm telling you, Moses, he knew what I did. And Joshua, of course, he gave him the mountain. Hallelujah. Now, it's called mountain, but it was a beautiful land. Joshua, he got it. He got first fruits. Before anybody else started doing all that nonsense, he got in there and gave me this mountain. And he took it. He would not be denied. And he reminded Joshua, look, when I was a young man, the Lord, he put faith in my heart and I did exploits. And I can still do those same exploits today. That's the challenge for you folks, especially you older folks that are in here. Some of you, including myself. When I was a young man, I did a lot of exploits. But can you still do the exploits today? Can you say, I don't know, you know, can you say that I was 40 years old? That was 45 years ago. I'm 85 now. I can still go out for war. Hallelujah. I can still do the same things that I did when I was 40 years old. Can you say that? Those of you who are a little bit older here now. That's right. You know, the God of Caleb is your strength as well. Amen. There's no such thing as a retired believer. I'm not going to retire until we put the devil in hell. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, having heard the scriptures and having seen the stories and, you know, listened through them and so forth, the challenge for you today is this. Are you going to sit back and let the devil take that which is yours? Are you? Are you going to sit back and let the devil destroy your marriage? Are you going to sit back and let the devil take your children? Are you going to sit back and let the devil or the world take your children? Sometimes it's the world, folks. Are you going to let the world today, the world, the things that they are doing and so forth, are you going to let them take your children? Or are you going to set them in the frontlets of your children every day when you're at meal, when you're in the house? You're going to tell it to them. And you're going to command them like Abraham did. Hallelujah. And going to raise them in the way of the Lord. Are you going to let the enemy, you know, eat that which is yours? Or are you going to stand up, praise God, and fight for it? I'm going to read to you one more scripture here, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. This is it right here. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 8. Remember, we read verses 6 and 7, but I left this verse 8 to come back. We read verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read it through again to give you context. He said, I have set watchmen from verse 6. Jerusalem, you know, which shall never hold their peace day and night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. You know. Keep not silence and give the Lord no rest until he establish and bring forth the thing that you are looking for. And then the Lord said this, the Lord has sworn in by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. Amen. That's right. I won't do it. And the sons of the stranger shall not eat or drink of thy wine for the which thou hast labored. Can somebody say amen? Amen? But they that have gathered it, they shall eat it. And they shall praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink of it in the courts of my holiness. Amen. Now, but you are going to be that enforcer for your own life. Jesus already said it is finished. But you are going to enforce it. You're not going to sit back and say, if it happens, if the Lord does it, fine. If the Lord does it, no! Praise God. We've seen all these stories by the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've read you about 8 stories in the Bible today. People that didn't take no for an answer. Praise God. But let me give you the final, the highest value of this message. When you pray, Jesus said, believe. Praise God. You know, faith is now. You believe now. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, when you pray, at the time that you pray, believe. That's the time you do it. But here's also the secret. This is what something that God has taught me, and it has worked all the time. I come to the Lord when there's something that is uppermost in my mind that I want him to do. And I say, Lord, I know you are sovereign. Amen. Praise God. Do you know that the Lord is sovereign? Do you know that the Lord, he doeth according as he wills in the armies of heaven? And that no man can stay his hand? Neither can any man say to him, what doest thou? Do you know that? You have to know that. That's non-negotiable. I say to the Lord, I know that you know better than I do. So this thing that I'm believing God for, I want it. And I can taste it. But no matter how bad I want it, if it's not your will, block it. I give him the free hand. I say, block it, Lord, if it's not your will. But if it is your will, and the devil says otherwise, you know, sometimes you say, Bible says understanding what the will of the... How do you know the will of the Lord? Search the scriptures. Praise God. Let's stand up to our feet. And we're going to pray that prayer today. How do you know the will of the Lord? Search the scriptures. You know, the Bible says it is Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock. My Father's good pleasure to give you. If you know the will of God, hallelujah. And Jesus said it himself, what things soever you desire. There's nothing wrong with desiring, especially when it is according to the word of the Lord. What things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them later on. Hallelujah. And then you say, then I say, Lord, if it is not your will, you can block it. But if it's your will, I'm going to move. I want you to move heaven and earth for me. Amen. Praise God. I want you to move heaven and earth if you need to. And God can do it. He doesn't even need to do that. He can send just one angel and clear the way for you. Praise God. Now, I want you to raise your hands. We're going to believe God. And those of you that are watching this broadcast, some of you are watching live, wherever you are watching it right now, some of you will be watching it later on. I want you to believe God with us. Praise God. Jesus was never impressed when people didn't believe God. He always rebuked them and said, oh, ye of little faith. But anytime that somebody had some tremendous faith, he was impressed. And he would say, my goodness, great is thy faith, O man, or great is thy faith, O woman. You know, what is going to be God's commendation concerning your faith? Is the Lord going to say, well, you know, she's wishy-washy. Or he's wishy-washy. Sometimes they believe me, sometimes they don't, you know, and so forth. Or is he going to say to one of those strong angels that excel at his word? Is he going to send them down there and say, that my daughter over there, she's believing God for something. You go down there and make sure it happens. Amen. Is he going to say that in your case? Oh, they're believing God. You go down there and make sure it happens. Now, lift your hands and we're going to pray. I want every one of you zero in on what you want God to do for you. Don't say, God bless me. That's no prayer. Be specific. Jesus said, when you pray, say, look, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus didn't say, bless us. Say some specific thing. Deliver me from accident. Keep me from temptation. Deliver me from evil. Give me my daily bread. Be specific. Don't just pray some loose prayer of God bless me. He's already blessed you. So what is it that you are believing God for today? Hallelujah. Is there somebody in the house that will believe God and that would not be denied? I want somebody that would not be denied. I'm going to take just a minute. If you would not be denied, the devil want to take your children. You're not going to let the devil have your children. Devil want to take your job or your possession. You're not going to have any of it. If that's you and you will not be denied, come here quickly. and step here in front. I'm going to take just a minute. We're already past the 12 noon hour. So I'm going to do this just very quickly. But I want you to come. And if that's you today and you want to believe God and you say, look, I believe God, come what may, I believe God. Hallelujah. I want the praise team to come up. Unless if you are in the praise team and you want this prayer, to you go down there first. Don't let anybody take your crown. Jesus said, don't let any man take your crown. You know, you get in there and get the blessing from God. Amen. Now, those of you who are watching, you can see how the people are coming forward. And you can stand with us in prayer wherever you are. Believe God. If you are sick on the bed, you get up out of that bed. Amen. Praise God. Don't lie down in the bed. Jesus said, take thy bed and walk. Take up thy bed and walk. Get up from that bed and believe God. Hallelujah. And whatever it is, you are believing God. You want God to save your marriage. You are out there. You want God to save your children. You want God to save your finances. Some of you, the devil messed you up because of some foolishness on your part. But today, the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And it has been a long time coming that the Lord has given you some promises. And the Lord said, my word which I have promised unto you shall no longer be prolonged, but that which I promised shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and I will pray. Father, look at the hands of your people. The Bible says, unto Shiloh, unto the Lord shall the gathering of the people be. They didn't gather unto me, Lord. They gathered to you. And we have spoken the word of God today. Hallelujah. And one man said, if I be a man of God, well, if I spoke the word of God today, Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's you. That's the Lord. And that's the word that we have preached today. You hold on to that, God's going to do it for you. Father, work a miracle for them in their lives. Whatever it is that they are believing God for, hallelujah, do it for them even now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that are watching by television, the same thing, or by watching by airwaves on Facebook or YouTube or wherever you're watching on the internet, believe God the same way. God is not bound by airwaves and so on. I speak the word of God. Bible says God gave the word and great is the company that published it. And everybody said amen. The Lord bless you and grant you the desires of your heart according to his own will in Jesus' mighty name. Now, believe the Lord and so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets or his servants that spoke the word this morning. And so shall ye prosper. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is done. You can come back later on and give a testimony. Remember this day, October 4th, 2020. Now mark it down your calendars and come back and give a testimony later. I'm going to turn it over to the praise team. They're going to close it out with another praise segment. Praise the Lord.